Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Also, spend a little time. One of the big items in this past week, well, football's been basically the only league making news with the start of the league year, free agency and trades and the CBA passing last weekend. We're going to the West Shore Hotline. We're going to be joined by Todd Glassman from the law firm of Allen & Glassman in Chicago. And he's a family lawyer, but he and his partner have a side mission. They speak to NFL teams about life after football and outside of football and managing contracts and all that neat stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about the CBA with him. And he's joining us right now on our Western Hotline. Todd, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me, Howard and Jeremy. Pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm curious. I want to ask you about the CBA and football stuff, but everybody's dealing with what we're all dealing with the virus. And I'm noticing here in our little neck of the woods in one of the suburbs of Buffalo, you don't see as many cars on the road. People aren't out, obviously. What's it like in a city like Chicago, the big city like Chicago?
So I guess you could say the biggest consequence that I've seen is the bars and restaurants have been shut down. I mean, we're a city driven by sports bars and people going out. People say we have one of the best food communities in the country. And I think that, you know, you're seeing a lot more people not only just sort of staying in with their families, but when I'm outside, I see a lot of people walking and running. And I don't see that as much. So I have to say, honestly, it is a brave new world out there. We haven't told everybody in the city to completely stay home. So I think some people are still going in to their businesses, and the public transportation hasn't shut down. But for the most part, it really is sort of a ghost town out here.
It's going to hurt Rush Street, right? Isn't that like the big bar district or the bar strip?
Yes, Division and Rush is the big bar district. It's definitely going to hurt that. They are still, most places are still ordering in or allowing you to order in or carry out,
right?
Which is great, but that's still, I mean, that's what, like a tenth of their business. A lot of their business is dining in and bars and all that. So,
Todd, when you look at the NFL CBA recently completed, recently voted upon and approved by the PA, did both sides do well, or did one have a little bit more to be happy about than the other?
You know what? Honestly, I think there's advantages to both sides. At the end of the day, you know, you just mentioned the coronavirus and all the uncertainty and nobody's playing right now. So I think the biggest plus for both sides is there's certainty. We know that there's a deal that's passed. We know there's not going to be a lockout, and you know what you're getting for the next 10 years. I will say, though, that the two biggest losses for the players are probably that they didn't get as much of the revenue split as many of them think they deserve. I know players like Richard Sherman, Aaron Rodgers were very vocal about this. They wanted to go back to, you know, how it was 10 years ago when it was, you know, 50-50, or the players at one point had 53%. So they did get a slight spike from 47, then it's going to go to 48, and it could go to 48.5%. But overall, you know, I don't think compared to what the owners make, and we're talking billions of dollars, the players probably didn't get as much as they wanted. That's one of the big ones.
Do you think they'd ever get a 50-50 split?
Well, they had it at one point. I think that, you know, one of my problems that I have for the players is there's really no sort of opt-out. You know, in 3 years or in 5 years, you can't renegotiate. So you're stuck. And the NFL owners now, the greatest win for them is that now they get to renegotiate with the media companies. And the NFL has deals with three different media companies. And starting now, going into next year, they can renegotiate. And out of the $16 billion that the Wall Street Journal estimated the NFL makes, half of that, about $8 billion, is from these media deals. So the owners are definitely, you know, happy about the fact that they can start renegotiating.
The big story, you know, from the players, of course, was the 17-game season. When you look at the deal in totality, was there enough in there to make signing off on the 17-game season okay from a player's standpoint?
So 60% of the players are on minimum salaries, mm-hmm. and there's definitely an increase from the minimum salaries, going up about 20%. So if you have one season in the league, your base salary is going up from $585,000 to $675,000, and then two seasons you're going from $660,000 to $750,000. There's also going to be increases implemented in performances for play. So if you're, you know, if you win certain awards, you get a spike yep. in your salary. You're also now, one of the big things is you're getting two more playoff games. So four more teams, players are getting more money to make that when they're playing in those playoff games. One of the other huge wins, I would say, is for players that are retired. Their pensions really, really went up, and there's a lot more money that they're putting into medical care, the NFL is, for the players, which I think was a great win.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you, if you represented a player, what would your recommendation have been? But it's different. I mean, are you representing the guy making $10 million a year, or are all the guys minimum salary players? Because like you said, isn't it the job of the union to do best for the majority? And if the majority of players, 60%, are at minimum salary, well, then they did those guys a solid, basically.
So I think you can look, you know, J.C. Treader, who's the representative for the players. He's a Cleveland Brown. He did a really nice job of going over the pros and cons. You know, before this whole coronavirus hit, I would have to say that I was definitely for, you know, doing it. But once this hit, I think even a little bit more, I was definitely for doing it. Because, yeah, there's a 17th game, and you do have to worry about health concerns. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, they're doing things like they're eliminating one of the preseason games. They're also reducing practices. They're also giving a lot more medical protection and protection to you when you retire from the league. So I think there really is a trade-off. But the overwhelming point that I would say that really, I would say you have to accept this deal is right now when you look around, unemployment is now over 20% and only spiking. Do you really want to be in a world of uncertainty when you don't know when you're going to get your next paycheck, that you're in the middle of an NFL lockout when we're talking about millions of dollars these players can put in their pocket?
Okay, a couple other things. One of them does deal with uncertainty, since you mentioned that word. So as opposed to the other sports, the NFL contracts are not fully guaranteed. Now, I think what's the average playing career is what, 3-something years, 3-point-something years? Do you believe it's not happening in this CBA? Is it worth it for the union to fight, or would it ever get to the point where contracts are fully guaranteed, like the NHL, for example, in the NFL?
You know, that's been one of the hardest fought issues. I definitely think at some point it would be worth it to fight, but you have to look at the numbers. I mean, this vote, 1,019 players voted for it and 959 voted against it. If we added that extra issue on the table, I don't know. I don't know if that would have made this deal pass. I mean, mm-hmm. I really think that they had to pick and choose their issues, but I have to think that now with all the uncertainty in the world, the guaranteed money like they have in the NHL will definitely be an issue, because I do agree with you. The average career in the NFL is 3.3 years. NHL is not that much more. It's about mm-hmm. 5 years. So every dollar counts.
So the NHL down the road is going to have a CBA up, what was it, another year or so?
Yeah, about a year ago they could have voted not to keep it, but they did. So I think what we're talking about is, another year. It actually, the CBA expires on September 15th of 2022 for the NHL.
So when we get to the point where the NHL is in CBA discussions, the contentious issue in football with 17 games, is there one that'll be a big issue getting into the next NHL CBA?
So not only is there one, but I think there's, if you had to really ask me my two main issues, I would definitely say one is the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
The players were really, really upset that they didn't get the opportunity to go to the Olympics the last time around. And a lot of them spoke out against the NHL as being selfish and They said that the NHL really thought there was no benefit for the players to go into the Olympics, and the players disagreed and said, look, it's going to bring more international awareness, and they do it for a higher cause, and it actually would bring more revenue to the NHL. So that's one, and the other one is escrow. A lot of these, all the players actually in the NHL, they get like 10 to 20% of their check taken out and put into this escrow account. And, you know, because the players and owners receive an equal split of the hockey-related revenues. So in order to get that equal split, because there's no frozen salary cap, basically they have to take a percentage of every player's paycheck. So imagine you're planning your expenses with your family. You're making, you know, the average salary is a couple million a year in the NHL. It's actually higher than the NFL. And you don't have a say in the fact that 20% of your cash flow is taken out every paycheck.
So let me ask you this then. I'll make this the final question because it leads to a follow-up. Let's say the NHL's playing the long game and they know maybe they generally believe the Olympics is bad for business, or there's something they're really going to want in the next deal. So you know what? Let's make the players angry and take away the Olympics. And then when they come back hard and say, we've got to have Olympics, we use that as the bargaining chip to get what? Is it maintaining escrow, or is there another issue that ownership knows they're going to want and we use the Olympics to get that?
You know, I'm not quite sure. One of the things I would say would be, yeah, maintaining escrow, but also you could do some sort of salary cap. I think maybe that would be a nice compromise. Another issue that I could tell you is, you know, really talk about these media deals. I mean, it's one of those issues that the NHL has really been looking at. They don't make nearly the amount of money that the NFL does, but I got to tell you, look at all the young players and look how much it's been growing in the last 5-10 years. I think that you're going to see, as part of the CBA, some sort of expansion when we talk about these media deals in the NHL.
Todd Glassman with a Chicago attorney, talking a little on the business side of sports. Todd, thanks for coming on with us this morning, and feel free to, you know, do a little takeout and send us some deep dish pizzas when you get a chance.
I will, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I love deep dish.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.